708, this is how I memorized this passage of Scripture. How many of you know this song? I began singing that song, I think, when I was a teenager, and it stuck with me. And so if anybody asked me to quote a verse, I could sing that one and quote it. But now I'd like for us to think about this verse a little more. What does it mean to be crucified with Christ? I want to highlight two things from this passage tonight. And the first one is that Christ was crucified for us. And we recognize that because that's the good news. That's the gospel, isn't it? That Christ was crucified for us. And the crucifixion, the cross, was the heart of the preaching of the Apostle Paul, who by inspiration wrote this book to the Galatians. But at other places, such as 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2, he underscored the primacy, or how the gospel, especially the crucifixion of Jesus, was at the heart of his preaching. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's because Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins. Jesus was crucified for us. So Jesus, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us, John 1:14. He took the form of a slave. He walked the path of temptation and sorrow. He met face to face that enemy dreaded by man. He became obedient even to death, says Philippians 2, even the death of the cross. And in that death upon the cross, God's holy law received a perfect satisfaction and obedience. I try to think of ways to help us understand just how great a thing it was that Jesus died on the cross for us. And one of the ways that I think about it is, well, I think about Barabbas, that notable prisoner. And I believe Pilate chose the worst prisoner that he could find to offer to the Jews instead of putting Christ on the cross. And so Barabbas, the Scripture describes Barabbas as a notable prisoner, as an insurrectionist, as a rebel, as a murderer. The worst of the worst, the one who had committed capital crimes and deserved to go to the cross to be executed because of his crimes. And so Pilate offers Barabbas or Jesus, knowing they're going to say, release Jesus to us because Barabbas was such a terrible criminal. But because of their envy and because they despise Christ so much, they said, give us Barabbas. So Barabbas was released, as the custom was at that time of year, for Pilate. What shall I do with Jesus? And they said, crucify him, crucify him. Now think about how Barabbas, that prisoner, that criminal, that murderer, went free, and Jesus went to the cross, the sinless Son of God. But then I think, you know, I'm Barabbas. You're Barabbas. Because we're the ones that deserve to go to the cross. But Jesus went in our place. Isaiah 53 verse 11, a prophecy concerning Christ, says, he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And I want to highlight this text that says, he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. Because sin, because God is a just God, he has to punish sin. And if he fails to do so, he wouldn't be just. But he's also a loving God. And so because of his love, he found a way to punish sin, but also to save us by the gift of his Son. And Isaiah was telling us that 700 years before Christ, that when Jesus was hanging on the cross for our sins, that God would see his sacrifice and his justice would be satisfied. So that we don't have to suffer the punishment for our sins, because Jesus suffered it for us. Jesus' death on the cross satisfied the justice of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Again, He was sinless. He had done nothing worthy of death, but He died on the cross because of our sins. That's the good news. And Galatians 2:20, the last part, we're starting with the last part first. He loved us, Paul says, He loved me and gave Himself for me. He died in my place. I was the one who deserved to die on the cross for my sins, but Jesus died in my place because of His love for me. And that beautifully describes one of the big words in the Bible, but one of the most beautiful words, and that is the word propitiation, which simply means He died in our place. He died for us. Hebrews 2:17, therefore in all things He had to be made like His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. And when we see that word propitiation, perhaps the word substitute will help us to understand it more, in that He died in our place. But we also need to recognize He took our punishment for us. He satisfied the justice of God. He is our propitiation. He died for us. 1 John 4:10, in this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. It's an expression, in fact, the most profound expression of God's love, that He sent Jesus to die for us. So as we think about what it means, crucified with Christ, understand that Jesus was crucified for us. But then let's explore this, what it means to be crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ, Paul says. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. What does it mean to be crucified with Christ? Number one, understand that crucifixion was a means of death. It's worn as jewelry, beautiful gold jewelry, the cross. And it's depicted in many ways that are pleasing to the eye. But when we think about the cross of Jesus and the cross as it was used in the first century, it was an instrument of torture, of execution. It wasn't invented by the Romans, but it was perfected by them to be a place of execution for the worst of criminals. It was designed to provide a slow, torturous death that those criminals would be in agony. And there was often a great crowd witnessing this, not only to see how these criminals would suffer because of their crimes, but also in the hopes that other people seeing them being crucified and executed in this way, it would be a deterrent, that they said, well, I don't want to commit any crimes because I don't want to have to go through that. But it was a torturous means of death. And Christ died this death for us as our propitiation, as our substitute. But now Paul says, he goes deeper into this mystery and says, if we really want to understand what this means to our lives, we need to see not only Jesus dying in our place, but in a sense, we need to see ourselves dying with Jesus on the cross. The cross means death. There's a death that we must die in order to follow Jesus. It's being crucified with Christ. There's a poet in very fancy language that beautifully describes the difference between what Jesus did for us on the cross and then what it means for us to be crucified with Christ. Here's the first verse. O life divine, poured out instead of mine, O sacrifice, who by thy death hath paid my ransom price, in whom I see the righteousness which God accepts for me. And that verse speaks to how Jesus became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He paid the ransom price, if you will. His life was poured out instead of ours. He died for us. Now, verse 2. In the same setting of a prayer, it states, pour out thyself within me now. Life of my life be thou. As deeper in thy death I die, rise thou within and sanctify thy temple, working in me to fulfill, O living Christ, thy Father's will. And again, very poetic language here. But the request is simply, live through me. Live through me. The life which I now live in the flesh, Paul says, I live by faith in the Son of God. I live, but it's not me, it's Christ living in me. And this is a prayer saying, yes, as deeper into your death I die, let your life be evident, be lived through me. We look at other passages of Scripture that speak to this death that we die when we're crucified with Christ. And we see a couple of things. Number one, when we are crucified with Christ, we die to sin. We die to sin. Listen to Romans 6, verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Count yourself to be dead to sin, but alive toward God. I think it was a man by the name of Augustine, many, many years ago, who became a believer and sought to crucify his old self, crucify his old ways. And he's walking down the street one day and he saw this woman that he had interacted with, that had been a part of his life in a sinful way. And she cried out to Augustine, Augustine, it is I. And his response was, yes, but it is not I. And he turned and walked away. You see, he refused to go back to living that way. He refused to engage in that kind of relationship with her because he had died to sin. Count yourselves as dead to sin, but alive to God. I died to sin. I no longer engage in it. That's my intention. But I'm alive to God and to fulfilling His purposes. We, by an act of faith, need to reckon ourselves, count ourselves to be dead to sin, dead to the old desires, dead to the old motives, dead to the old goals. To reckon ourselves to be dead, to be crucified with Christ, which means we're dead to sin. And we also die to self when we're crucified with Christ. We die to self. 2 Corinthians 5:15 is a passage that I've grown to love. It says, and he died for all, Jesus died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. He died for us so that we should no longer live for ourselves. Living for yourself. What's wrong with that? Living for yourself. What's wrong with making your world revolve around you? What's wrong with seeking your own interests, regardless of the interests of others, even God? What's wrong with it is that that's pure selfishness. And selfishness leads to sin. And sin separates us from God. Jesus died for us so that we no longer have to live for ourselves. We can get out of ourselves, if you will. And he died for us that we could live for him. Live for the one who died for us and rose again. You see, when we're crucified with Christ, what Paul envisions here is a dedicated disciple emerging from one's own death. We died to ourselves, and now we're alive to God. We live for His purposes. We live for Him now. Like Paul said, his desire was that Christ be magnified in his body, whether by life or by death, that Christ be magnified. For him to live is Christ, he said, Philippians 1:21. It was all about living for him, as he echoes here in Galatians 2 and verse 20. But you remember what Jesus says? When he called the people to himself, Mark 8:34, his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Deny self. Take up your cross. And remember, that cross means death. We die to ourselves so that we may live for Christ. I want to get very practical here. Being crucified with Christ, and how does that affect my everyday life? Here are some ways that it should impact us. Number one, being crucified with Christ means our feet are crucified. You remember when Jesus was crucified, there were nails in his hands, more likely his wrists, but also in his feet, one on top of the other, a nail driven through both of them into the upright portion of the cross. So that when Jesus or anyone who would be crucified on the cross would seek to draw in breath, they'd have to press against that nail in their feet. Excruciating pain. But his feet were crucified. Even so, when we're crucified with Christ, our feet are crucified. And what does that mean? It means that we're careful where our feet take us. It means that we never cause our feet to lead us into a place that will dishonor Him. It means that when we're crucified with Christ, there are places where our feet don't go anymore. Because we know that those places do not honor God, that they're sinful. And so when we are tempted to go to this place where we know if we go there, we're going to be tempted to sin, we remind ourselves, I've been crucified with Christ, therefore I don't go there anymore. That's what it means to have crucified feet. 1 Peter 2:21, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps." Crucified feet means that we follow in Jesus' steps, in the steps of our crucified Lord. That'll keep us out of some places, but it'll also cause us to go to other places, places of service, places where Jesus would go and minister to people. 1 John 2 and verse 6, "He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." But our walk now is with crucified feet. We go where he wants us to go. We don't go where we would be led away from him. It means our hands are crucified. Again, likely the wrists where those nails would be driven, because the bones of the hand wouldn't be able to sustain the weight. But the wrist being considered part of his hand, his wrists were nailed to the crossbar of the cross. Again, excruciating pain in this torturous death. Our hands must be crucified too. When we're crucified with Christ, it means we're careful about what we handle. We don't handle things that will stain our hands with sin or with wrong. 1 Timothy 2:8 says, "I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." Many believe that this reflects a practice of the early church, that when they prayed, they lifted up their hands to God. But I think the emphasis here is on holy hands. That when we lift our hands up to God, it's with holy hands. It means that hands that are set apart to Him. Hands that haven't engaged in sin, at least not intentionally. Our hands are also crucified. That means we don't use our hands for the things that perhaps we once did that were sinful. But we dedicate our hands to His service. Listen to what God said through Isaiah to the people of Judah long ago. Their hands were sinful. Listen to what He said. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. This is God's message to them. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. You see the emphasis on their actions? I'm not hearing you when you pray because your hands are full of blood. You're doing evil. You need to repent. You need to stop. Cease doing evil. Learn to do good. Use your hands for those things that are righteous and holy and pleasing to me. It means when it says we're crucified with Christ, it means our hands are crucified and we use them only for God's purposes. There's an old story about a Saxon warrior who wanted to become a Christian. He came forward to be baptized and he told the minister to immerse every part of him except for one hand. But he was told that the whole body had to be buried with Christ in baptism. No, said the warrior, I want to keep this hand free to battle my enemies. I don't want it to be given to Christ. But that's not the way it works, is it? When we're baptized into Christ, we're crucified with Him, and our whole self, we die to self. We're crucified with Christ. And it means all of us belongs to God, including our hands. So we use our hands for good to serve the Lord. As we have opportunity, Galatians 6:10, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Crucified with Christ means that our ears are crucified. A Christian should put to death or give up whatever he hears that might keep him from serving Christ. If our ears are crucified, we'll be careful about the things that we listen to. Crucified ears do not listen to those who would lead you away from Christ. Crucified ears don't listen to things like gossip and things which hurt other people. So if we start hearing something, maybe on the television or somebody's saying something, and we realize that's not something I need to be hearing, we need to remember our ears have been crucified and we need to get away from that. Proverbs 20 verse 19, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much. Our ears have been crucified. We don't listen to such things. John 10, in the context of the Good Shepherd, notice what it says, verse 3. To him, the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. My sheep, Jesus would say, hear my voice and follow me. Jesus' sheep need to know who not to listen to, because their ears are crucified and realize that they only listen and follow Jesus. Being crucified with Christ means that our tongues are crucified. We need to put away, put to death any speech that does not follow the will of Christ. Listen to this proverb, 10 verse 11. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Because I have a crucified tongue, it means that I don't speak with deceit. I don't try to deceive. I don't lie in order to get some advantage. My tongue has been crucified, so I speak the truth in love. Proverbs 15:4. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. There are things that we say, things that we refuse to say, because our tongues have been crucified. 1 Peter 3 verse 10. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit or lies or guile. To be crucified with Christ also means that our hearts are crucified with him. In John 19:34, I remember reading some articles about crucifixion, especially Jesus' crucifixion from a medical point of view. You remember this passage in John 19:34 that when it says that soldier thrust that spear into Jesus' side, that out came blood and water. Some who have studied it from a medical point of view suggest that the reason there came blood and water is that under great emotional stress, physical distress, that there's a fluid that'll surround the heart and the pericardium, the sac that encases the heart. And it would suggest that when perhaps this spear, when it was thrust into Jesus' side, pierced that sac. So not only did blood come out, but that water came out as well. And it would lend to the understanding that we already have that Jesus was in agony as he hung on the cross. Some even wonder, did this pressure from this fluid surrounding his heart cause his heart to stop bleeding? Could Jesus have died from a broken heart when he hung on the cross for our sins? But then we ask, is our heart crucified? Is it dead to sin? Does Jesus have first place in our heart, or are our hearts divided? Jesus said, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's an old word for money, but you can fill in any word. You cannot serve God and anything or anyone else. That's a divided heart. And Jesus wants our whole heart. And when we're crucified with Christ, our hearts are crucified. They're dedicated fully to him and to him alone. In every heart, there is a throne. There's only room for one. And that one, if we're crucified with Christ, is Jesus himself. If we're crucified Christians, our whole heart belongs to him. So how are we crucified with Christ? How does that take place? To be crucified with Christ, we must be baptized into his death. Romans chapter 6, Paul talks about the gospel and how it pertains to us and how we receive the benefits of that good news. That just as Jesus died and was buried and rose again, in baptism, we, in a sense, reenact the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Romans 6, verse 3, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Yes, in baptism, we come in contact with the cleansing blood of Jesus. His blood washes away our sins. But folks, we also need to understand we die in baptism. That we are crucified with Christ in baptism. That means we're dead now to sin. We're dead to self. When we're raised to walk in newness of life, that new life is a life of living by faith in the Son of God. It's a life that's dedicated to serving Him. That we're dead to sin. We're dead to ourselves. We're alive to Christ. Colossians 2:12, we're buried with Him in baptism, in which we are also raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. But we're crucified with Christ initially when we're baptized into Christ. Yes, our sins are washed away. It means our past sins are cleansed. But it also means a commitment on our part that we're crucified with Christ. To be crucified with Christ also means that we die daily. We die daily. 1 Corinthians 15:31, I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. To be sure, being crucified with Christ is not just a one-time event, but an ongoing way of life. We die daily to ourselves. But we're alive to God. Luke 9:23. In Luke's account of Jesus' great invitation, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. How often? Daily. And follow me. I die daily. Being crucified with Christ means that we die to the old life and we follow him daily. He's our Lord and Savior, and we give Him first place in our lives. So I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. He died for us. He was crucified for us so that we might be saved. But in accepting His salvation, there's a death that we die. We die with Him. We're crucified with Him, meaning it's no longer about me. It's all about Him. And perhaps tonight you're ready to be crucified with Christ by being baptized into Christ, into His death. Or perhaps there's others of us who need to recommit and die to ourselves again and reaffirm our commitment to serving Him daily. If you're subject to the invitation of Christ, we invite you to come right now as we stand and sing.